part of this time of year, this winter season that we're in, is the darkness, right? It gets dark so early, and there's something kind of depressing about, you know, you drive to work in the dark, and it's still dark when you leave work, and we like the light, you know? We enjoy summers when it's light till 10 p.m., and you know, we can just enjoy the light. This Sunday, I want us to kind of wrap up our Advent series, the things that we've kind of been journeying through this month of December. And, you know, maybe you're kind of already through the Christmas season, and it feels weird to kind of jump back into Advent. But I want us to just take a little bit this morning to return to a theme that we started our Advent series with, and I think is appropriate to kind of sort of wrap it all up as we segue into a new year. We started in Isaiah 9, with the idea of light and darkness. And that's where I want us to return, but in the New Testament text of 1 John 1. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, feel free to open on up to 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to be starting in verse 5. So here's what it says, 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. What do we celebrate at Christmas? What did we just celebrate? Any kids in the room wanna help me out? What, like, shout it out. What did we celebrate at Christmas? Jesus, yes, nice. Exactly, we celebrate Jesus. We celebrate that Jesus has come. And what does that mean? Well, it means, as John tells us in his gospel, that the light of the world has come. I love that song that we sang this morning. We actually sang it that first week of Advent too. Sing hallelujah, the light of the world has come. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And this statement that John makes here in his letter, that God is light, is interesting. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this doesn't show up, but in John's gospel, this imagery of light shows up all the time. And, I mean, John is not, he's not pulling this statement out of thin air. This is a thoroughly biblical image, a thoroughly biblical statement. John Stott writes, "Of the statements about the essential being of God, none is more comprehensive than God is light." Okay, so what does it mean? What do we mean when we say that God is light? Well, it means that God is glorious, right? He's magnificent, beautiful. We use light in this sense. I think of, you know, the image of a treasure chest opening up, right, in the movies, and light just kind of beams out of the treasure chest because, you know, this treasure inside is so glorious, so magnificent. Or we can think about the Christmas story, right? The glory of God. When the angels come, the glory of God shines around the shepherds. We can also think of God as light as meaning God is truth, right? We are stumbling around in the darkness of ignorance, but God is truth. He is the light that shines on our path and shows us where to go. We can also see that God is righteous. God is light means that God is righteous. There is none of the darkness of evil in him. He is all good all the time. At Christmas, we celebrated that the light has come. Why does he do it? Why does God not just leave us in our darkness? We know that we deserve it. We have sinned. We've rebelled. We've spit in his face, and we've turned away. We've decided that we want to do it our own way, and yet God doesn't leave us in our darkness. He should. He should just, you know, let us rot in our darkness. We don't deserve to be brought into the light. And yet, every December, we celebrate that the light has come. Continuing on here, John writes, God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. Here's a scientific fact, and I'm no scientist, but I'm pretty confident about this one. When the light comes, darkness is driven out, right? That's what happens all the time. You don't get home one day and flip the light switch and suddenly realize that the darkness has decided that it's had enough and now it owns the space. No, you flip the light switch and the light comes and the light replaces the darkness. It's just how it works. Darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. And so since God is true light, that means that he totally repels darkness. Light and darkness, they cannot coexist. It's like oil and water, fresh water and salt water, right? These images that help us see that some things just don't go together. They can't mix. Where there is light, darkness cannot be. Earlier I explained, right, what it means that God is light. We can think of it as God is glorious, God is truth, God is righteous. John's making an important point, though, because where he wants to lead us here is to realize that acknowledging that God is light actually places some very practical demands on our lives. Okay, he's writing to some people who liked to think about God as this transcendent being, right? This idea of God as light may have even been a phrase that they were fond of using. And John kind of picks it up as some common ground. But they like to think about God as way up there, so far detached from our material world, and therefore it didn't matter what you do in the material world. Excuse me, I'm still getting over a cold. It didn't matter what you do in the material world, God didn't care. He was up there. And so John takes this idea that God is light, and he says, yes, this is true, God is light. Now let me explain, though, what this means for your life. Because if we believe that God is light, then it means that we believe that truth is found ultimately in him. The truth about who we are, the truth about this world that we live in. Apart from God, we're just stumbling around in the darkness. It's like, you know, when you leave the basement after turning the lights off and you're trying to make your way upstairs and you're just tripping over things, running into walls. That's us. Apart from God, we're just stumbling around in the darkness. And, you know, we live in a world that is often telling us that truth is found within ourselves, right? We just got to find that truth that's within us. And your truth is going to be different than my truth. And we all have our own truth. You just got to find that deeply buried truth within yourself. But the problem is then we're just stumbling around in the darkness, running into walls, trying to find that truth that we're told is buried within us. And this is not the message of Scripture. The message of Scripture is that truth comes from outside of us. God's light shines, his truth shines into our darkness. And so then John takes it a step further, though. He says, not only do we have to acknowledge that, not only do we have to believe in the truth, but we actually need to practice the truth. Literally, in the Greek, we need to do the truth. There is action that is tied to this. When the light comes, we're faced with a choice. Okay, we can step in to the light, we can draw near to the light, or we can sink back into the darkness. When the light comes, it exposes things. It exposes our sin. And we might feel so much guilt, so much shame, that we just sink back into the darkness. That's where it's comfortable. That's what we know. So we just keep doing the things that we were doing before, stuck in those habits and patterns of sin, and then we pass those down to our children. But there is a better way for us to live. That is the message of 1 John 1 here. There is a better way for us to walk in. We can walk in the light. It's almost the new year, right? New Year's Eve is on Wednesday, I think, whatever day this week that New Year's Eve is on. And often in this season of New Year's, we reflect. Like Ian mentioned earlier, we reflect on our lives. And I wonder if this year we could ask ourselves the question, am I walking in the darkness or am I walking in the light? Am I finding truth in myself or in the words or opinions of others, or am I finding truth in God and in His Word? Again, the message of our culture is, no, you just got to find the truth in yourself. Truth is relative. You know, what's true for you might not be true for me. But the message of Scripture is that God's light, God's truth is the light shining down into our darkness. And then if we believe the truth, then our lives should be lived in line with that. We should be doing the truth. One commentator puts it like this, you know, either the darkness or the light is going to be our constant sphere of existence. I like this phrase, and it basically, you know, it just means that you cannot be partially in the light and partially in the darkness. We're going to be in one or the other. And if we're walking in the light, it means that the way that we treat others reflects the love of God. And not just the way that we treat the people that we like, but also the way that we treat the people that annoy us. And not just when people are watching, but also when nobody is watching. And it also impacts the way that we spend our money and our time. It's all encompassing. Walking in the light becomes our constant sphere of existence. And it's visible and it's active. Everything about who we are and what we do is shaped by the one who is light. We are no longer the people of Isaiah 9 walking in darkness. No, a great light has dawned. You know, you can't convince someone that a lamp is on when it's clearly off. It's going to be visible. When the light is there, it is visible. And so it is with our lives. It should be visible and active. John gives a couple more thoughts in his letter here about what it means to walk in the light. Verse 7 says this, "If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So John gives us kind of an interesting test here. A way that we might know whether we're walking in darkness, whether we're walking in the light. Let's call it the fellowship test. Okay, someone might be doing something that seems good. It seems super spiritual, but if it's leading to fractures in our church community, if it's leading to a sense of I'm better than you, or if it's leading to cliques that are cut off from the body and sowing discord in the greater community, then we know that that is not walking in the light. It does not pass the fellowship test. Because you see, we are a community of people walking in the light. We are a community built on forgiveness. We do not deserve to be called into the light. Like I mentioned earlier, we deserve to just rot in the darkness, but God in his grace and in his love brings us into the light. And so we are a community built on forgiveness. We've been brought in through God's grace. And if we realize this, then, and we've truly been transformed by the cleansing power of Jesus, then the natural response is going to be love and compassion for our neighbor. We're not going to be like the people that Jesus talked about who made a big deal out of the speck in one man's eye and completely ignored the log that was jammed in their own. It's like the old quote, church is not a hotel for saints, but a hospital for sinners. When we recognize this, and we recognize that we are gathering as people saved by God's grace, called into the light when we only deserve darkness, when we realize this, when we remember this, then our natural response is going to be to love one another, to foster fellowship and build community and treat each other with love and grace and kindness. You know, church is a bit of a weird place. I'm sure for a lot of us, we probably wouldn't gather together. We probably wouldn't hang out, you know, outside of this place, but we're brought together. And, you know, we have different personalities and temperaments and hobbies, and yet we are brought together by this community because we are all people that are seeking fellowship with the light. And that's a beautiful thing. In the new year, we're going to spend some time going through the book of Philippians. And I think the book of Philippians can give us a really powerful picture of what it means to be this community walking in the light. I think as Paul writes to the church in Philippi, he gives a lot of good things for us to chew on and consider in terms of what it means to be a community of people walking in the light. Let us remember who we are. We are people walking in the light. And we preach that to ourselves. We remind ourselves of that as we feel ourselves slipping into sin or as we feel disunity creeping into our community. We are people of the light. Because the light of the world has come, and where there is light, darkness cannot be. Let's pray. Dear God, yeah, we just thank you so much for everything that we celebrate at Christmas, the reminder that the light of the world has come, that you didn't just leave us in the darkness of our sin and our rebellion, but in your grace and in your love, you stepped down from heaven and came to earth. You called us into your glorious light. And so we thank you for that gift, and we pray that as we live our lives, that we would no longer walk in darkness, but that we would walk in light. That we would die to our old self and we would experience new life in you. And that this would show itself in all the areas of our life. And if there's things that we're holding back from you, God, if there's rooms of our hearts that we're just not letting you in, we pray that we would just open those up to you, God. That we would let you in, that we would let the light drive out darkness. Amen. We're going to enter into a time of communion here. We keep a basket for the elements at that table out in the front there, I guess side table this Sunday. So if you missed it on your way in, it is in a different spot. So it's understandable if you did miss it. So feel free to grab it, or we got some ushers that will come around and get those to you. I want you to picture Okay, I want you to picture the best gift that you got this year. The most amazing present, the thing, you know, that just meant so much to you, that made you feel so cared for by whoever gave you that gift. And as you're picturing that, let us remember the gift of being able to walk in the light. This is the greatest gift ever. And I know we say this every Christmas, but it's true. This is the greatest gift ever because the light of the world has come and we no longer have to walk in darkness.